Right, this is Sunday the 1st of April, and while Vance is flying across the Atlantic, the Pacific, I don't know where he is, we are having an account of the IATFL conference which took place in Glasgow this year, Glasgow in Scotland. And because there are two extremely interesting webinars at the same time, Mark Pengram and Dean Hockley in one and Ken Wilson in another, there's very few of us here. So I'll just run through the how IATFL is, how it goes on. So this is the website, in fact, the Atlantic, thank you. So like TESOL, it starts with a day, a pre-conference, we call them PCE, pre-conference events. There is the associate day, I think that is in the pre-conference event as well. And, oh, how did I get there? Sorry, my mistake, wrong button. And the pre-conference event, so there's the associate's day, where all of the associations, like my own TESOL France, who are associated, all get together. This is our representative from France. And there's also all the different, we call them special interest groups. So we call them SIGs, the special interest groups, all have their day together. And the SIG which I belong to most is the LT SIG. I try a bit of EASP. And I actually put this photo because I found that it was a very interesting slide here. Well, that's interesting that they changed their names. Maybe so that we could know which association we were talking about. TESOL is IS and IATFL is SIG, is SIGS. Anyway, it was all about apps this year, so apparently they're talking about the availability of devices, apps or no apps, production tools, because mobile learning is not only computer-based, phones or tablets. Ooh, don't know what that means. BYOD. Bring your own device or class sets. What are the challenges? What are the limitations? What is your context? So that was the day before the conference began. And Nina talked to me about apps, because I finally cracked just before Christmas, with the help of a 60th birthday and Christmas, and I bought an iPad. Then I took it back because I couldn't do what I wanted to do. Then I realized that it does not replace a computer. It's a different appliance. So I got it again, and I'm trying to tame it, but I'm still having problems. Anyway, so I just particularly like this photo. This is Gary Mottram, who is the chairman of the Learning Technologies SIG, and we can see here Marissa, who is quite a star from Greece. No, I got the pictures from Flickr. Everyone was asked to tag their photos. IATFL 2012. It's practically the end of the photos, actually. So, yes, Maria Constantinidis. Oh, you're good at getting the name right. And so I listened to the opening. I listened to the opening plenary because it was absolutely mind blowing. In fact, on the Glasgow online site, it's extremely well organized, and you can, when you go to sessions, you have all of the sessions here. There was actually an app for the conference, and so you could do a lot of things with this app and get your session organized. And there's an option video, and the opening plenary is a long-standing English teacher, but his conference was actually about leadership at all levels, not specifically teaching. And it's really worth I mean, obviously, I am very enthusiastic about it. Of course, there are lots of other sessions which were interesting too. I think if I look at that for real rather than on the, and I go to the sessions and I go to the videos, then you can see that. So there we are, Adrian Hollander held the first one. I haven't looked at very many. Oh, it was really outstanding. And then there was a lot of interesting things. I've seen just a few of them. Phonetics for young learners. Oh, I wonder what that is. So there we are. What I particularly appreciate is that they are very, very easily. Yes, the outstanding one was Adrian Underhill at the beginning. In fact, I never really understood what they meant when they were talking about systemic grammar. And he made it really, it's just the same as, it's just a different notion with a sort of, alongside complexity. It was really interesting, but about leadership especially. And there's also, on that first place, these video interviews. Now, the funny thing was, I didn't realize until I was making these pictures this morning that here, you click here to get to the video session. And all the time I was saying, wow, they're only doing live streaming, and I'm not available. The reason I couldn't come, I've got too much work to do. And I was really very, very unhappy about that. And all the time I was missing this little link. They hadn't put the other link on at that point. It was really funny how you get completely blocked when you're used to the way something is presented. You know, I mean, we have to sort of try and adapt all the time, and I usually read things, but I really miss that one. Anyway, these three people were interviewing people throughout the 3 days. And some very, very nice interviews. And it, specifically the last one, I got this information from, that there were 50,000 viewers. They were hoping to get to 100 million. And the largest number of viewers came from Brazil and Turkey, with a group being organized online in Singapore and Hungary. So when people talk about the digital divide, it really does make me laugh. Yeah, but people talk about the digital, people that I encounter sort of say, oh, the digital divide, you know, these, as if it was our Western countries that were the most online. And certainly in English teaching, it is absolutely not the case. I mean, I'm fighting all the time with my colleagues. Go on, give it a try. And I went to Marrakesh. I saw Vance in Marrakesh. I went to Marrakesh, and the same question on the TeachMeet site. It's a lovely site for asking. No, today's meet. I asked the question, you know, are your colleagues computer friendly? In Marrakesh, the answer was yes. And, you know, it's always no whenever I ask that question. Anyway, they who'd interviewed people throughout the 3 days, their personal opinion of the overall tendencies which they'd encountered this year was that more and more people were talking about bridging the gap between research and practice. Oh yeah, today's meet. It's an online, so you, wait a minute, I missed that. Can we address that later, Danielle? Today's meet is a great site. Look, I can show it to you. Wait 1 second. So have you got that? Can you see it? Right. So you simply create your room, which you can call it anything, like I would call it Webhead. And then it tells me if, oh, it seems to be okay, and I decide how long the room exists for, so I always choose just 2 hours, and I create the room online. I think it's a little bit longer with the, I can't see if it's working with the web tool. Then when you have created your use, as it says, you can, people can access it either via their iPhones or the, you know, any computer access. So it makes like a kind of private Twitter stream within the conference. I haven't actually used it with students. I'm sure people with more imagination than me. It won't do it inside the web tour. I'm sure people with more imagination than me would be able to use in their classes. Let's see if I can find it outside. No. That's funny. It's opened in the web tour, and it hasn't opened on my computer. Yep, you can, have you not seen how people, you know, Twitter, it's a kind of discreet whispering in the room. No, okay, I'm not the best multitasker either. So, okay, so it won't work, but that's all. You just get a column on the left where anyone can put in the same address. So it would be http://todaysmeet.com/webhead, and they can, and then all the whatever anyone puts in will be in the same stream on the left of the screen. So I'll close that. Wait a minute. It's not, I mean, they certainly can multitask better than us, can't they? It's, you know, what are they learning? That's the debatable bit. But anyway, okay, I know there's a really, really good, program on it somewhere. Certainly I don't read nearly as much as I used to. I like things to be audiovisual now. But to get back to what I was saying, because I think that's of interest to Danielle as well. So what they were saying about the tendencies was that they were saying was that everyone was wanting to bridge the gap between research and practice. Okay, so I can't really say anything else about that. I don't know, but what I did hear in the interviews was how the general tendency was we should challenge students more. That's saying it nicely, because in fact a lot of people were saying, "Yeah, always bravo, well done." Never daring to contradict the students is actually not good for them, anyway. But the Hornby scholars have existed for a long time. You probably know that Hornby was the guy who created the Advanced Learner's Dictionary in about the 1950s. I mean, it wasn't. Would you contradict? I missed that. The Hornby. Then made a lot of money from his dictionary and left it all as a scholarship. And there, I don't know how many Hornby scholars, but these are people from non-European, non-Western society who come and talk about teaching in their on their side of the world, in their con in their situation. So I wonder if that answers a little bit the question you said you put earlier. Shall I just give you the mic a minute, Daniel, to you can. Okay, I've got it. You said, is anyone creating maps to build an understanding of how the lack of English skills contributes to poor education outcomes and how poverty complicates it? Oh, it was an example of a map showing poverty and poor schools. Thank you very much. I'm sorry I can't click on links in the thing. I'll copy. I'll get it later. Oh, go away. I have this thing on my machine which opens the wrong thing. So these, everyone was talking a lot about these Hornby scholars. They must have made a big impact because I remember when I went 5 years ago, there was no one particularly went to their session, and this year it seems to have gone right up the popularity polls. And then there were a lot of bloggers, and one thing which they said was that there were actually people following Glasgow Online while they were actually at the conference, and so that was kind of like a bit amusing. The one thing I would like to speak to you about, but I'm getting off the mic a minute, is the ELT chat. Okay, so I'll just carry on then about the ELT chat. ELT chat was originally only a group on Twitter. Marissa Konstantinidis was one of the founders, as was Sean, oh, I can't remember, Wilder. And it was originally a Twitter group, so when, you know, the hashtag, so it had to be on Twitter, you have to look at the ELT chat with the hashtag. So you don't actually have to follow the people. You get all the messages with the hashtag. And it's on a Wednesday, and because of the time zones, there's one which the times need checking, I think is about 1 o'clock GMT, but it's only approximate. And the other one is about 2100 hours. And before, I need to find the reference. Before during the week, people vote. The English teachers vote on what subject they want to discuss, and then according to the vote. That is the subject on that Twitter channel for the next hour. So it's kind of like, it's, I mean, it's exactly like Tapton, but with 140 characters, a picture against each person's face. That's what I was saying about, I'm trying to, I can't find it. I'll leave you to look for it. But it works exactly like ELT chat. And it has exactly the same effect, in fact, as the webheads. And there is one new teacher who has written a blog post, which is actually quite amazing, about when he met the people who he had been chatting with, and it corresponded exactly to my impression too. There he is. It's very much a kind of instant webheads, where as the tools are becoming easier, it's easier to connect with it's easier to use the tools. I think it's kind of like the tools of, I don't know. You haven't heard of it at all? Let me pass you the mic again.
No, I haven't. I've been kind of lurking incompletely for a while.
Well, this guy is actually saying, he says about the warmth and the that he who never usually spoke to people. He spoke about his experience of meeting the people he had been communicating with, which is, it's exactly the same as meeting a webhead, in fact. Think it is a question of the communities of practice, that the reason that we got together is because we're interested in the same thing. I mean, it's because we're interested in teaching. There are a lot of teachers, but somewhere, I mean, it's kind of the like-minded people, don't you think so? And so then, you get together because you are like-minded people. You communicate, in this case, weekly again. And then, when you actually get up to meet, it's just, it's absolutely great. It's quite, it's really quite amusing. I would like the tapped in to be still working, but I really think learning together has replaced it.
Well, what Ben said yesterday is that he generally goes to Tapton first and then ends up directing people over here. And that's where he kind of lost me a while ago. And I don't remember anymore why he lost me. Maybe I was having mic problems, or maybe I couldn't get in, maybe it was the wrong time for me, because for me, 12 GMT, at this time of year, it's 8 in the morning, so I'm usually available. In the winter, it's 7 in the morning, and then sometimes I'm sleeping. So that was kind of hard. When it comes later in the day, and it's not in my routine to be later in the day. I don't know, I got out of it somehow, and my husband seemed to enjoy having me sitting at the breakfast table with him. So I did that for a while, and my best friend has a favorite TV show that she always watches around this time. And so I started doing that. I don't know, but I think that that's the beauty of webheads, is that you can kind of you know, tied in and tied out. And sometimes you're there and sometimes you're not. And it's really great to know that it's there. I'm going to try to come back now. And I will sign myself in to do a couple of sessions with the presentations that I did at TESOL. Vince was mentioning that we could, you know, go for a long time with people who presented at IATEFL or TESOL if they volunteered to do a presentation here.
Super, that is. I'd already typed it. That's really great news. Effectively, if he gets the timetable of the talks which you did at TESOL, that's a great way to reconnect. It's actually, for me now, it's been from 4 to 5 on an absolutely beautiful sunny day. So, you know, it is difficult to be regular. I just pop in and out sometimes. Oh, Barbara! There's Barbara. We're just finishing. Have you been to any other... Barbara, you've got the mic. Have you been to any of the other webinars? Tell us all.
Have I been to any more of which webinars? Sorry.
Oh, there were two absolutely fabulous webinars at exactly the same time. One was Mark Pengram, who multiliteracy course. It's almost midnight. Vance's multiliteracy course is based on the book by Mark Pengram, who was doing a webinar at this time for Pearson's, and also Ken Wilson was doing a webinar for the Business English SIG. There you go. So we were not surprised. So there's Nina here, who I've been working with on the webheads quite a long time. Do you remember Nina? And also Danielle, who I didn't know, who's not actually an English teacher but a member of the webheads.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, those are both, I mean, I wouldn't mind watching either one of those either. those are really great webinars, I'm sure. Not much to add, really.
Barb, I saw Mary Hillis and Tom Robb at TESOL this week. I don't know, maybe you know them.
Oh yeah, that's fabulous. I would love to get back to TESOL. It has been ages since I've been to TESOL. Do you know where it's going to be next year?
Yes, indeed, it's going to be in Dallas.
Yay! I can probably go to that one.
Are you from Texas?
Not originally, but we spent 7 years in Texas, and my daughter is a student at University of Texas, at least until May. So there's a built-in excuse to go there.
Good. Is your daughter in Austin?
Yes, she is. She's graduating at the end of May, so I'll be going there to celebrate not having to pay tuition anymore.
That is something to celebrate.
So goodness, I guess, I don't have to feel too guilty about not making it until the end. I was feeling really bad that I couldn't get here. But it sounds as if there's just too much competition.
Well, Elizabeth was telling us about IATEFL and IATEFL Online. I've never managed to do anything with IATEFL. I think about it every year. Usually when the semester's going on, it's just impossible for me to think about attending an online conference. I'm busy. I don't have a lot of classes. I don't have a lot of students. But I don't know. Life intervenes.
Well, you know, to be honest, I had never considered going to IATEFL because I started out with TESOL. And, you know, I did my MA in the States. I'd been attending TESOL, you know, Rocky Mountain TESOL, Arizona TESOL, Texas TESOL, California TESOL, National TESOL. And so it just always seemed that, you know, TESOL was for Americans and IATEFL was for Europeans. And so this is my first year actually going to IATEFL. And I had, I participated in the online, the IATEFL online for the last 3 years. And it's really, really good. I mean, nobody can touch what, you know, TESOL and the webheads do with Evo. But IATEFL is the leader with online access to their conferences so far, and they really are role models for that.
And I must say that Abhi did a fabulous pachachka on the thing. It was just absolutely brilliant. It is online, you can see it. But what was your presentation about?
I was actually part of a symposium about social networking for professional development, mostly about ELT chat. And so I was part of a group of speakers. Yeah, the other thing I did was I got interviewed by IATEFL Online, and I got to plug the webheads in that. So ELT chat is on Twitter, and every Wednesday there. The broadband at the conference center wasn't very good Wi-Fi, and we didn't have enough for live streaming. So I don't know what exactly happened. I know that they're going to have podcasts for sure, and they're going to, I think they made the slides available, and they'll try to do some video, but I wouldn't hold my breath. Anyway, ELT chat is a discussion that happens twice every Wednesday, and teachers vote on topics, so it's quite democratic. If you go to ELT chat, .com, you'll see that now they have voting going on for the topics on Wednesday. And then Wednesday evening, the voting will close, and one of the topics will get discussed at noon British Standard Time, and the other will get discussed at 9 British Standard Time. And teachers from literally around the world converge on Twitter, and they use the ELT chat hashtag. And and if you follow the ELT chat hashtag, then what it's turned into is, in between the chats, people use the hash for sharing anything related to ELT because they know that a lot of people follow the hashtag now. It's actually British Standard Time, so they just changed. And not GMT, I wish. So it's, let me go to their website and take a look. But it's usually, most of the year, it's the same as GMT. But when British Standard changes, I think it is at noon British Standard and 9 p.m. British Standard, which is like 11 GMT, perhaps. I'm not really up on that, to be honest. I just know that it turns into 8 p.m. in Japan and like 5 a.m. in Japan. But the topics vary from week to week. Yeah, if you have the, if you open eltchat.com, everything's there. There's also a wiki. And the nice thing about eltchat, because, for example, I can't make, you know, the late chat because it's just unreasonable waking up time. But all of the chats have transcripts. So the entire chat is archived so that all the links are embedded. And then there's usually a summary also written for it that are searchable. So the chats are turning into a really nice archive of discussions and, you know, a good place to start when you want to do research on a topic. You can go see what came up in the chat and then use it as a start. There is an ELT chat page on Facebook, and then there's the ELT chat wiki where everything is archived, and then there's the website. And they were just nominated, they were shortlisted for Elson. Yeah, it's really turning into a very nice resource. And the link to summaries on the blogs is really lovely. And so it's, you think of like discussion that sparks discussion. You know, it's hard to go in depth at 140 characters, but they're quite lovely with just sparking ideas. And some of them I found really interesting. For example, we had one talking about the American, like an MA versus a CELTA. And, you know, it was quite interesting for me because I only know about MAs, really. So, are there any questions that I could answer more specifically, Nina?
I don't think so. I need to explore the site a little bit and figure out if it's a time that is possible for me and look and see what's there. That's good to know about. Thanks. Me, I'm at the University of Maryland, College Park.
Trying to think of what time the chat talk is. I'm really lousy at it myself. Yeah, this was listed in the February time, and I know that the times changed. So, in any case, if you use time and date and use British Standard Time, it's London time, basically. So, noon London and 9 p.m. London. And I wish they would use GMT, but they don't. So, I don't know what else to say about it. But it's a really great, actually, it's a great entry point for a lot of teachers who are uncomfortable interacting with other teachers online because they can lurk really easily. And we have a lot of, we probably have 100 really active participants, but there are far more who just listen in and watch. And they just read the chat until they feel comfortable, and then pretty soon they can't be quiet anymore, and they'll send a little tweet and suddenly they're involved in it. And it's hard at first because they're so fast and furious, but once people get used to that, then it's a very safe way to participate as well. And I think a lot of people just watch for a while, and then as they become more comfortable, they jump in. But really, the biggest value as a resource is the archive that they're putting together.
Actually looking for the blog because the, or is this a new website? Because the eltchat.com, it doesn't look as clear as the blog does. I don't know. I'll just have a little look while you speak. In any case, we are getting towards we're getting towards 5 o'clock, so my time. Sorry. So we can think of wrapping up.
Well, I've enjoyed it. Hope to see you again next week. Thank you, Elizabeth, for hosting. Barb, I'm glad you were able to drop by. Daniel, nice to meet you.
Sorry for being so late, but I'm glad I caught you here. So, good talking to you again.
Thanks a lot. thanks a lot for coming. And you'll be hosting on the 15th. That's great to know. Danielle will be telling us about his tutor mentoring groups. Okay, so thanks ever such a lot. It's so lovely to speak to you, and see you around.